the grace of God, I was a drunk, filthy mouth, tobacco spitting truck driver. That's all I was. Best I could do. Amen. August 20th, 1993, 5 p.m. on a Friday afternoon, this poor man cried. And the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Amen. I was 31 years old, done the best I could do. Just I was drunk the Sunday before I got saved. And there was a lady, read that old King James Bible to me over the telephone. And I knew I wasn't right. I never was serious with God. Amen. I knew John 3:16. I knew Jesus died for the sins of the world. But that night I received him by faith as my Lord and Savior. And something just snapped on the inside. It's just like that. I had all the problems that I had before, but I just knew everything going to be all right now. Amen. I was under conviction. I didn't know what that was. I was about to have a nervous breakdown. I was about to go to the hospital. Amen. But God had been dealing with me. And I just been trying to do what God has told me to do ever since I got saved. I knew I needed to go to church, and he gave me a good Bible-believing church 3 miles from my house. I knew I needed a Bible. I had a King James Bible in my house. Amen. So I started reading and praying and trying to follow God. Amen. And I talked about the church over to the other church last night. And church is, it's the next best thing out of salvation for me. I mean, they said, brotherhood, we got a kindred spirit here. I've talked to some of you guys. You don't know me. I don't know you, but there's something going on here. Amen. There's a connection there. Amen. And it's like that all over the place. Amen. Some places it ain't. It might not be that way. I guess brothers and sisters, you know, they got problems too. Amen. But it's good here. And I appreciate the opportunity to come tonight. And as you're turning to Genesis chapter 36, an old man lived alone in Idaho, and he wanted to spade his potato garden. But it was very hard work. His only son, Bubba, who used to help him, was in prison. The old man wrote a letter to his son and described his predicament. Dear Bubba, I'm feeling pretty bad because it looks like I won't be able to plant my potato garden this year. I'm just getting too old to be digging up the garden plot. If you were here, all my troubles would be over. I know you would dig the plot for me. Love, Dad. A few days later, he received a letter from his son. Dear Dad, for heaven's sake, Dad, don't dig up that garden. That's where I buried the bodies. Love, Bubba. At 4 a.m. the next morning, the FBI agents and local police showed up and dug up the entire area without finding any bodies. They apologized to the old man and left. That same day, the man received another letter from Bubba. Dear Dad, go ahead and plant the potatoes now. That's the best I can do under the circumstances. Love, Bubba. Amen. They got time to think. Amen. Amen. If we'd spend our time, you know, thinking about what we could do for the Lord, amen, amen, we might get something done. And I spend a lot of time in my Christian. I was a truck stop chaplain for 10 years. At the Stony Ridge truck stop, and I got down on the asphalt down there many a night, just me and God out there, and asked God. There was a bar in there, an old Stony Ridge bar saloon. It was the country music radio station. They had, you know, all kind of, it was the Rebel 105.9. They had all kind of meetings in there, you know, and everybody knew about it. All the truck drivers all over the country knew that it was a hell hole is what it was. They had a bar, and they had a restaurant, and they had a motel. How handy, amen. And then, you know, fuel stops and everything. And it was a bad place. It was a rough place. There was people killed in there. And I started praying when the Lord let me go over there. He'd shut it down. Amen. He shut it down. He shut my chapel down too. But they tore it down. It's just vacant ground right now. But anyhow, I was there 10 years, and we've seen probably 1,000 folks saved or make professions of faith. I don't know that all of them get saved. Amen. If all the ones you guys got saved, this church would be full, you know. I mean, you know, that's between them and God, I guess. I don't know, you know. But anyhow, and then my mother got sick right after they shut it down. And I took care of her for 2.5 years. Really, 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 really hard time in my life. I lost a lot of stuff. Lost my house. Went through that. It was just really tough. And she went home to be with the Lord. Groundhog Day in 2009, and you know, if you've done any caretaking for anybody, my hat's off to you. I mean, it's a matter of life and death when you're dealing with people in a situation like that. She had, you know, high blood pressure and diabetes and, you know, liver, just all kind of stuff. And it's like juggling, trying to keep the food right and the meds right and the insulin and all that stuff. And it's really takes its toll on you. And the Lord knew all that. And so I took care of her. And then the jails opened up and I started preaching in the jail. And then after she passed away, the Lord called me into evangelism, wanted me to carry books with me and Bibles and stuff. And I started out with Defiant bumper stickers and little Sam Gipps little bumper. That's what I started with. And then he got sick, his wife. So my pastor, first revival I went to preach, he said, "You're going to need some money." My pastor gave me $500. I bought books. Amen. And I set up a table in the back of the church and went good. People was, you know, they need books, good books. Amen. So I'd take my offerings and I bought Bibles and I bought more books and I bought Bibles and books and books and Bibles with my offerings. I was working at that time. And then I had a van. Sunday night, people don't want you picking up 3 hours worth of books, putting them back in boxes. They want to go home on Sunday night. So I got me what I called litters, and I would set the books out, and I had pillars, and they was made out of wood, and I would put these dowel pins in them, and I'd stack them, you know, the books on top of a table, you know, and then I'd take the pins out and set them all down, and we could carry them, put them in a van just like that, and I'd be out of your church. So I got so many books, I couldn't do that no more, so I got some bookshelves, and I put wheels on them, caster wheels, and I had a trailer. I'd roll them down the trailer and come up your wheelchair ramp. I'd set the bookshelves up in your church. And then I bought an online bookstore out that went out of business in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Then I couldn't carry them. So I started praying the Lord would give me a bookmobile. The old book, do they got them around here? Bookmobiles from the public library. Do they have those? Yeah, some of you know they had them when you was kids and stuff. So I bought one of them. It was 40 foot. And I run that for a couple years. It was rough. I mean, last time I went to Texas, took 5.5 gallons of oil, 8 gallons of water. And the Lord blessed me with this one out here. Hey, man, it's an 05 Freightliner with that 5.9 Cummins. You know, that good Cummins in it. Hey, man. And it got overdrive and stuff. It's got air blowing out of the cab. You know, the other one had heat. The motor's right there. It cooked you summer, winter. You got cooked. And the fumes. You might wonder why I'm a little... I've been, you know, sucked in fumes for a while. So I got this new, and it's got two roof airs. So one in the back works, praise God. So we can get a little bit cool in there in the summer. And I tell you, when you go out there, you're going to be cooking. Because we got a 50 amp out here, and I got the heat on in there. And it's going to be nice. I praise God for that. And God's people helped me get that. We raised the money in 9 days. I just sent a little prayer letter out and told them I had an opportunity to upgrade, and a missionary friend of mine, he told me what to do. He said, them churches will help you buy that. They like what you're doing. And I'm like, you're a missionary. You can ask for money. I'm an evangelist selling books. Nobody, I can't do that, you know. So he gave me $1,000. He said, I'm going to give you $1,000. I didn't know they had money like that. Missionaries, you know, he gave me $1,000, and he said, "Now just put the line out there. Tell folks what you need and what you're doing." And I tell you what, raised $15,000, what it was, in 9 days. God's people bought that for me, and I went and picked it up, paid for, and we took off a run. As soon as we got that, we changed that bookmobile into Bible mobile, and we took that big green book they had on there. It looked like a JW Bible, New World. That's black now. It says Holy Bible and King James on. We fixed that, and I hit the road, and we've been all over the place. Amen. Just unbelievable what God's done with that. And my ministry is to small churches. That's where God wants me. You know, you got 4 or 5 people, 8 people, 10 people, 12. You know, I look at it this way. How would you like to preach the revival for Noah? The only 8 people right in the world. You know, couldn't you have a time with him? That's what I think about family churches and stuff. Amen. I just, you know, we'll get into this. I'll hit some of this as we go. But in Genesis chapter 36, what time do we get done here? Well, let's pray. Let's pray. We better pray now, because we're just close. 7. Oh, my. Anyhow, I got a lot of reading here. I got to do a lot of reading, but we'll shut down on stuff. The Bible's important, ain't it? Ain't the Bible important? The Word of God, it's just wonderful, isn't it? Amen. Genesis chapter 36. Some of you haven't ever read this. Amen. Amen. Yeah, they was 14 dukes. Amen. 7 dukes of Seir. Amen. The Horite. Amen. This is all it tells, explains all this stuff. Amen. This is really, 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 it's Bible. Amen. Now, these are the generations, verse 1. These are the generations of Esau, who is Edom. Esau took his wives of the daughters of Canaan, Ada, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite, and Olabama. Amen. He was a Edomite. You know Obama was an Edomite? Amen. It carries right down, don't it? Amen. Amen. Olabama, the daughter of Anna, the daughter of Zibeon, the Hivites. See, all them Hivites and Canaanites and Jeb, they're all, you know, that's where they are. Amen. This is the whole outfit here. Amen. And Bashemath, you know, Esau took the wives of the Hivites, right? Amen. It was a grief of mine to his mom and dad, but he was a rebel. Amen. And this is his heritage. Bashemath, Ishmael's daughter, sister of Nebajah, and Ada bare Esau, Eliphaz, and Bashemath bare Reuel, and Holabama bare Jeush, and Jalem, and Korah. These are the sons of Esau, which were born unto him in the land of Canaan. And Esau took his wives of the sons of the daughters of all, and all the persons of his house, and all his cattle, and his beast, and all his substance which he had got in the land of Canaan, and went unto the country from the face of his brother Jacob, for their riches were more than that they might dwell together, and the land wherein they were strangers could not bear them because of their cattle. Thus dwelt Esau in Mount Seir. Esau is Edom. And these are the generations of Esau, the father of the Edomites in Mount Seir. These are the names of Esau's sons. And Eliphaz, the son of Ada, the wife of Esau, Reuel, the son of Bashemath, the wife of Esau, and the sons of Eliphaz were Teman, and Omar, and Zepho, and Gatam, and Kenaz, and Timnah was concubine to Eliphaz, Esau's son, and she bare him Eliphaz, Amalek. These were the sons of Ada, Esau's wife. And these are the sons of Reuel, Nahath, and Zerah, and Shammah, and Mizah. These were the sons of Bashemath, Esau's wife. And these were the sons of Olabama, the daughter of Anna, the daughter of Zibeon, Esau's wife. And she bare Esau, Jeush, and Jalem, and Korah. These were dukes of the sons of Esau. The son of Eliphaz, firstborn Esau, Duke Tamar, Duke Omar, Duke Zepho, Duke Kenaz, Duke Korah, Duke Gatham, Duke Amalek. These are the dukes that came of Eliphaz in the land of Edom. Y'all want to quit, don't you? These were the sons of Ada. And these are the sons of real Esau's son, Duke Nahath, Duke Zerah, Duke Shammah, Duke Mizah. These are the dukes that came of Reuel in the land of Edom. These are the sons of Bashemath, Esau's wife. And these are the sons of Olabama, Esau's wife, Duke Jeush, Duke Jalem, they're rerunning, ain't they? Korah. And these are the dukes that came of Olabama, the daughter of Anna, Esau's wife. These are the sons of Esau, who is Edom, and these are their dukes. And these are the sons of Seir, the Horite, who inhabited the land, Lotham, Shobal, and Zibeon, and Anna, and Dishon, and Ezer, and Dishan. These are the dukes of the Horites, of the children of Seir in the land of Edom. And the children of Lotham were Hori, and Heman, and Lotan's sister was Timnah, and the children of Shobal were these, Alvin, and Manahath, and Ebul, and Shepho, and Onam. That is some tough stuff. You know, life's that way. got to go through some stuff, ain't you? Every day it ain't a mountaintop, is it? You got to drudge through life. Amen. Reading your Bible's about the same deal. You know, it ain't all, you know, Psalms, is it? There's a lot of tough stuff in there, a lot of hard stuff. You get the Chronicles and you get discouraged and you quit sometimes, don't you? A lot of Christians, they'll quit on God when you just dredge through life and things is tough, just like pronouncing all those names and keeping on going. Amen. Amen. I'm a realist. Amen. My old pastor was a realist. You know, I ain't got no use for them TV preachers. You know, something good is going to happen to you. Brother, I'm going to tell you something. Something bad is going to happen to you. If you're going to live godly in Christ Jesus, that's a promise from the Word of God. You're going to suffer. Amen. But you know what we got to do? We got to keep on going for the grace of God. Verse 24, and these are the children of Zibeah, both Adja and Anna. This was that Anna that found the mules in the wilderness as he fed the asses of Zibeon his father. And the children of Anna were these, Dishon and Oholibamah, the daughter of Anna. And these are the children of Dishon, Hemdan and Eshban and Ithran and Chiran. Amen. You know what? Hey, we get right down in the middle of all that reading, amen. And right there in the middle of all that stuff, it says this was that Anna that found them mules in the wilderness, amen. Amen. I'm going to tell you something about life, amen. Hey, if you just go through it, amen, and do what you're supposed to do, amen, and keep on going, amen, you know what? You might find you some mules in the wilderness. Amen. Anna was feeding his father's asses, amen. Livestock, daily chores, doing what the father said. Amen. He found something unexpected he didn't intend to find. Amen. The blessings of finding a mule. You know, a mule is of great worth. You guys are in farm country up here. Amen. It's all flat. Amen. It ain't that way down home. Amen. And, y'all have mules around here? Y'all still got mules? Amen. Does people still fool with them around here? I see some heads and nodding. If you got a pair of mules, a team of mules at Matt's, they'll bring some money today. You know what? You got a pair of mules that you can work? Amen. And a mule is worth more than an ass. Amen. He was feeding the asses. Amen. And he found some mules. Amen. What's that guy's name? Dake. This is what Dake said. He said, Hebrew, Yemen, mules, in verse 24 translated, warm springs, hot springs, many versions, other emu, giants. It's never mules except here. The ordinary word for the mule, mule is appeared. Amen. I'm just telling you. Yemen has never translated springs water. 618 times these words are used in King James Version. Controversy over this will never be settled. So whether Anna found mules, giants, or hot springs, he became famous for it. Amen. I'm just going to say found some mules. Amen. Mules is worth more than asses. Amen. Of a truth. Amen. The blessings of finding a mule. Amen. You know, in 2 Samuel 13:29, it says, and the servants of Absalom did unto Amnon as Absalom had commanded. Then all the king's sons arose, and every man got him up upon his mule and fled. Amen. You know, in the Bible, you know who rode mules? Amen. The king's sons rode mules. Amen. Amen. Finding a mule is a great blessing, amen, an unexpected blessing. 1 Kings 1:33, the king also said unto them, take with you servants of your Lord and call Solomon my son to ride upon mine own mule and bring him down to Gihon. Amen. You remember that? Adonijah was trying to take the kingdom. Amen. And David was a dying, and he had runners in front of him, behind him, and was it Abiathar? One of them got the priest coming there and told Bathsheba, and Solomon said, you know, I'm supposed to be the king. Now, what's going on here? Don't the king know what's going on? And so they set the little thing up, and he told him, you know, king, he's doing this. The prophet come in. You know, they had the thing. Bathsheba told him the prophet come in, you know, and then confirmed what she said. And King David said, hey, take Solomon and go get my mule and put him on my mule and let him ride through town. Amen. And when folks see him on my mule, amen, they're going to know that he's a king. Amen. David, amen, David's mule, and brought him to Gihon. Amen. Verse 44b, they caused him to ride upon the king's mule. And verse 46, also Solomon sitteth on the throne of the kingdom. You know what? Hey, kings sat on mules, they sat on thrones. Amen. A mule is, amen, that was a blessing. Amen. Amen. You know, an ass ain't worth very much. They sell them up in sale barns. Usually, you know, 40 bucks or something, 60 bucks. You get a little, they take crazy looking. A jackass, you know, a donkey. They take crazy looking. Amen. Amen. You know what God says about a lost, unregenerated man? Amen. Job 11:12 says, for vain man would be wise, though man be born like a wild ass's colt. You ever hear people call somebody a dumb or a jack or a smart? They're quoting the King James Bible. They don't even believe it. They're agreeing with God. Amen. Ain't that a hoot? In John 11:15. Fear not, daughters of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. That's a humbling thing for the Lord of glory, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, to, amen, go get that ass where never man sat and bring him to me. You know what happened to me one day? This old wild, dumb donkey. And the Lord loosed me. And as a lady, got him to me. And nobody could do nothing with me. And you know what the Lord did? Just like that wild ass, nobody's ever sat on, nobody could ever tame him. Nobody could, and the Lord sat on that ass. Nobody broke that ass. They just brought it to him and he sat on it. And you know what the Lord did? He took that ass on Palm Sunday, I guess. They laid them and the coach down. And you know where he went? Right through them eastern gates. And you know what he's going to do with me, preacher? I'm coming right through them eastern gates one of these days. And I ain't going to be riding no ass. Amen. Probably a big white mule. Amen. I don't know. Your pastor straighten that out. Amen. Talks about a charger. Amen. Ain't we kings and priests now? Amen. Got a quote here. An ass is but an ass though laden with gold. That old lost man can do anything that he wants to do. And you know what he is? He's still lost. You can put anything. You can educate him. You can dress him anyhow you want to. You can give him whatever you want to give him. Amen. Until he gets born again. Amen. Amen. He ain't no account for nothing. Amen. He that maketh himself an ass must not take it ill if men ride him. Amen. Amen. Here's one. Ever ass loveth to hear himself bray. Amen. you know people like that. They just all they thought, you know, they got ee-aw, ee-aw, ee-aw. And I was staying down. I was down there in Florida, and I was staying with a couple down there, and they put me up on a little old kind of hickey place. I mean, it was, you know, chickens and everything just all over the place. And they had one of them things, man. I'm sitting there trying to sleep, man. It's still dark. And I heard, man, I'm sitting there. Wrong time, man. Wrong time. Them old asses, they bray at the wrong time, you know. Amen. Every ass loves to hear himself bray. Amen. Every ass thinking himself worthy to stand with the king's horses. Amen. Amen. The ass of a king is still but an ass. Amen. Anna found a great blessing. He found an unforgettable blessing. all that reading we've done, all that hard stuff we've done, God put that right in the middle of that. All that hard life and all that boring stuff and all that monotony and things that you go through, it ain't time to quit. Amen. Anna means afflicted. Amen. Israel was afflicted because of sin. Amen. You know that old ass ain't got no sense. You know, you got to hit him between the eyes with a two before. You just got to beat that old ass. Amen. You know, to get him to do anything. You know, a mule, if you're plowing, some of you older guys, maybe, I don't know if Brother Hoffman cultivated the mules. He's probably one of the oldest folks in here, but my grandpa did. My grandpa never drove a car. Amen. He was born 1886. He tried to drive a car one time. He got in one, and he took it out the driveway and ran right across the road down in the creek, you know. And he got my Uncle Hassel. He said, go get them mules and pull this automobile out of here. So they got the mules and pulled them back. And they said, my mom said, Daddy, why'd you drive that car across the road and run into that creek like that? He said, well, I come up to the end of the driveway and I said, gee, and it didn't gee. And he said, I hollered, haw, and it didn't haw. And he said, I hollered, whoa, and that crazy thing kept right on going. Amen. And amen. Them old asses, man. That old lost man, he gets afflicted, don't he? He's got a death wish. This old flesh will kill itself, amen. If you give it time, it's just, it gets afflicted, amen. The drugs and all this stuff, man, you're just drinking and all the sin and stuff. It'll take you right down, amen, that old ass, amen. Anna, he was in the ministry, amen. He was working for the Father. Amen. As he fed the asses of Zebedee and his father. It was an important job. Amen. You think about that feeding. I know some of you guys know, hey, you got to feed them livestock. You can't just let them go. Amen. I know, I guarantee you one thing. If you ain't feeding them, they'll find somebody that will. Amen. You can't have a good enough fence to keep a cow or anything in if you ain't feeding them, man. If they get hungry, they're going hogs, man. Hogs is worse. Amen. If you ain't feeding a hog, man, he'll be over in the neighbors eating dog food. Amen. Amen. I used to have some hogs. I'd run out of feed, and that's exactly what they did. They would get out wherever I had them, and I'd get a call from the neighbor. The hog's over here eating my dog food. Amen. You got to feed it. You got to do that. You got to feed. Amen. He had to feed them asses. Amen. Hey, it didn't matter if it was raining. Amen. Hey, it didn't matter if it was a storm. Amen. It didn't matter if it was snowing. Amen. He had to go feed them asses. Amen. Hey, he had to do it. Amen. Somebody had to do it. It's a dangerous job. Amen. He's in the wilderness. Amen. Out there in the wilderness. You ever get out in the wilderness? Amen. Scary out there in the wilderness. Storms come up, lightning and stuff. And he's out there. Amen. It's monotony. Amen. Working for the Father. It's monotony. Same old. Amen. Amen. Doing the same thing. Hooking up that cart. Amen. Hey, to them oxen. Amen. Hey, shoveling on some provender. Amen. Had some corn or some shelled corn. Shoveling or getting them sacks out there. Amen. Throwing that hay, whatever he's got to do, the bales of hay out there on that little cart and going out there. Amen. Through the rain, the sleet, the snow, the hail. Hey, but it's the same road, amen, the same turns, amen, the same scenery, the same old asses, day after day after day after day. Amen, you get up in the morning, you read, you pray, amen, you eat, you go to work, amen, you come back, it's the same wife, the same kids, the same house, amen, same day, everything's the same, amen. You're living your life for God, just doing the same thing every day, amen. Sunday morning, a.m., Sunday school, Sunday, amen, evening, Sunday. And your pastor, you know, he pastors two churches. What do you think about him? Whoo! He's got two sets of asses to feed. I'm telling you, some of you Christians, I don't know about you guys. You guys probably, I see them halos out there. But some of these Christians won't listen to the preaching. They won't take heed. Hey, wait a minute, them's horns. They say, them's horns, them ain't halos. Them's horns are popping up. No, but, hey, some of you Christians are the hard-headedest, stubbornest, especially Baptists, independent Baptists, amen. They won't take reproof. They won't take rebuke, amen. We're something, man. Same outfit. He got two sets of them. Amen. Sunday morning on Sunday, two different outfits. He said, "What are you talking about? It gets monotonous, just like reading all that stuff. Boring monotony. That's where Anna was. You can't quit feeding them sheep, feeding them asses. Amen. A place of ministry, a place of monotony, full, faithfully serving the Father, faithfully feeding the asses. Amen. Sounds like a prison ministry. Amen. I've been in there too. I've been preaching in prisons. Amen. If you quit, what are they going to do? What are they going to do, Pastor? You quit feeding them. You quit feeding. What are you going to do? I know some churches ain't got nobody feeding them. They ain't got no pastor. What are you doing? You going to watch YouTube? If you record this, which I hope you don't, it won't be the same on your phone as what it is right here tonight. You say, you think you're something. No, I don't think I'm anything. I know God's everything. And God's got something for you folks right here tonight that you're not going to get anywhere else. You say, "Preacher, you're crazy." No. You remember when the Lord come up on Sunday and Thomas wasn't there? And they go knocking on his door Monday morning. "Hey, the Lord was there. The Lord was there." He said, "I don't believe that." Your testimony of unbelief when you lay out. "I don't believe that." They said, "He was here and he's coming back next week." Yeah, that's when God meets, first of the week. You know that? Amen. Prayer meeting Wednesday night. Wherever the times are appointed, he'll show up. Thomas was in the dark that whole week. Doubting Thomas. Ain't that what they call him? That next Sunday, he comes up. He's in the assembly. The Lord comes up. He said, "Thomas, I got a message for you. Just stick your hand right there. Put your fingers in this print." You know what Thomas did? He hit the dirt. "My Lord, my God." He said, "Blessed are they which believe without seeing." There's something similar to that. That's the R.K. Easterling version. Amen. Same gist. Amen. People know church night. They know prayer meeting night. And they see your car. And if you're not, it's your testimony. I don't believe it. Ain't that important, you know. You're here on Wednesday night. I'm not getting on you people. Amen. Of all people. No, not you guys. But I'm just saying it's a fact. It's a fact. Could the Lord went to his house? Say, "Hey, Thomas, I am up." Couldn't he? People say, "Well, I can meet with God out on a fishing boat just like I can in the church." You might meet him if you drown. And you're apt to. You're liable to get out when you... Hey, couldn't he have done that, though? Couldn't he went out there? I mean, he went out there and cooked breakfast for Pete and them guys out on the... But he didn't. He didn't, did he? Amen. You can't quit. You folks got families. You got folks watching you. They're coming up here this week. You're going to go, and they're thinking, having second thoughts about even inviting you to the Thanksgiving because they know what you're going to do. You're going to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ on Thanksgiving, the only national holiday we have that's scriptural. Don't let them down, man. Pray. Ask if I can pray. "Lord, thank you for this food. Thank you for my dear family, God. Thank you for the precious blood of Jesus Christ that redeems us from our ungodly, wicked, filthy sin and saves us from a devil's hell." Amen? Amen. Preach and pray. Amen. Don't let them down. If you don't show up or if you chicken out and won't open your mouth for the Lord, they're going to say, "Well, he's cooled off. He don't believe that stuff no more." Amen. Give them the full deal. Amen. I got family won't come around me. I drive a Bible mobile. That is pretty weird. Amen. It ain't boring though. Amen. It's never boring. We got two Thanksgiving parades next week. One will be the next Saturday, and then there's one the 3rd of December. We got a big Bible we pulled behind them. We won up in North Kent. We won the whole outfit. We had the best entry. Lost people said we had the best entry. Amen. Ain't that a blessing? So that's crazy. Well, we're fools for Christ's sake. Amen. I tell you, I've done a lot of stuff for the devil. Under the influence of his spirit. Amen. And anyhow, I better get to moving. We only got 5 minutes, and I got about 30 minutes left on this message. Amen. A place of monotony, faithful, serving the Father, feeding the asses. Amen. You can't quit. You say, well, we can watch YouTube. We can watch this and that and the other. I went away to them YouTube people ain't going to come visit you in a hospital, preach your family's funeral. They ain't going to come pray with your family when they're sick. Them YouTube. Amen. Amen. If that's all you got, you know, I believe if you're listening to anybody or watching anybody else more than you're watching your pastor and listening to your pastor and coming to church, you're subject to getting in trouble. He's praying and studying for you. Amen. And if you don't take advantage of that, your local pastor feeding and stuff, and you're trying to get this stuff, you might get in trouble. I know some church members, they know too much. And knowledge puffeth up. And they ain't doing nothing with what they know but causing problems. Amen, preacher? Some of these guys get all the knowledge and all the, you know, the Antichrist toe jam. And they don't do nothing for God. They're just sitting there telling, you know, I know, anyhow, I feel like I hit a stump there, but amen. There's a balance there. I mean, I ain't talking about, but you need to, amen, this is your pastor. Amen. And God put him here. Amen. And he'll feed you. I think he does a pretty good job. I got one of his Bibles. There's some pretty good stuff in there. Amen. Amen. What are they going to get? Spiritual pizza or spiritual Hot Pockets? The 7-11 songs from the liberal churches? 7 words, 11 times? Man, that "And Can It Be"? Does it get any better than that? Does anything get any better than "And Can It Be"? I'm telling you, that stuff will get you down the road, amen. Them 7-11 songs will get you to your car. Pray, you know. It's like a marshmallow, you know. Give me a hamburger, you know, cheese coney or something, amen. Marshmallows is okay once in a while. Anna, he was in a place of maroon. He was separated. Have you ever been in the wilderness? Amen. Get in the wilderness, can't see, don't know what to do. Out there, dark, scary, separated from everyone. Amen. You keep doing what you know you're supposed to do. Gets lonely. Serving the Father, duty seems heavy. Especially if you're going to be faithful. A lot of times you ain't got nobody to talk to. You go sit down at the lunch table. Nobody won't sit by you. Because you're going to bow your head. Lord, thank you for my food. Thank you for the beautiful day. Thank you for my job. Thank you for my home. Thank you for my church. Thank you for salvation. They don't want to hear that. Amen. And you need to do that. Go ahead and pray. Amen. Don't be ashamed of God. I mean, he only died for you and saved you from the devil's hell. Amen. We shortchange God a lot. You know what? We get ashamed of him. He gets lonely, especially if you're faithful. Duty. Amen. Anna means afflicted. Amen. John, the beloved. Lord's dying on the cross. Woman. woman, behold thy son, behold thy mother. From that day forth, she went to his house. John. Sons of Thunder. That was one name for John and his brother. John the Beloved, the one closest to the Lord. He's got to take care of Jesus' mother. He couldn't go to camp meetings sometimes, the revival meetings, the street preaching, tent meetings. He was taking care of the Lord's mother. You say, well, I got this, I got this. Yeah, it's tough. I've done that a while. I mean, I took 2.5 years, man. My mom had a hospital bed in my living room. And I juggled her, man. I put her in a wheelchair, took her to the bathroom. Amen. I had my girls helping me. You know, when, hey, on the weekends they'd come in, they'd run me off, and, you know, they'd take care of, you know, fix her up and clean her up and do all the bedclothes and all that stuff. Amen. Amen. You know, that's spiritual. Honor thy father and thy mother. That's part of honoring your father and mother. Don't shove them in a nursing home the first chance you get and forget about them and go and do your thing. That's the way of it is in America today. That's, amen. Just get their money in their house and stick them off somewhere and forget about them. There's a lot of folks dying during this COVID thing. And it's almost murder. Yeah, I mean, it's close, man. It's close. I had my mom in a nursing home a couple of times. Hey, they didn't take care of her like I did. They gave her stuff she wasn't supposed to have. Amen. Her diabetic, they'd give her a shot of insulin, her sugar would go down. So they would give her a cookie. And then her sugar would go up. They'd give her a shot and her sugar would go. Insanity. Why don't you wait about 20 minutes, check her again. It'll go down. You don't got to do that. You know, and then to come up. Anyhow, I better go on. John. Boy, it paid off in the long run for him, didn't he? He got to write a couple more books, and he got to see the revelation of God and write the book of Revelations. Amen. Sometimes it's lonely. Sometimes you're tempted to quit. Sometimes you're discouraged and tired, and nobody cares. Nobody notices what you're doing. Amen. That faithful Sunday school teacher. Amen. That faithful janitor in the church. That faithful guy that cuts the grass. Amen. Works on the vehicles and things. You think nobody cares. Nobody sees. You better look up. Amen. Because Anna got his name right there in the middle of all that mess. Amen. He found them mules. Amen. And God sees what you're doing. Hey, your labor of love. He knows what's going on, amen. And he's the only one that really counts. So you just keep on doing what God's got you doing. Amen. Don't get the Peter syndrome. And Lord, what shall this man do? Amen. Lord said, just feed my sheep, man. Just feed my sheep. Amen. What if I tell you, Terry, what's that to thee? Feed my sheep. Amen. Luke 12:31, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You know the kingdom of God's in you, right? Do we teach that here? It comes not with observation. It's joy and peace and righteousness and the Holy Ghost that's inside of you. And whenever you feed them asses or whatever God's got you doing, you seek him first and what he's got you doing, you'll have something down inside of you you can't get out of this old world. And I don't care how tough it gets, brother. I don't care how tough it gets. Amen. Don't quit. Amen. You know what the devil wants you to do? He wants you to quit. He wants you to quit church. He wants you to quit reading. He wants you to quit praying. Any general of any war, they know what to do to stop an army. And you shut off their supplies. And that's what they do. They shut off the supplies. That reading that Bible, that prayer in the morning, that's your supply line to God. He gives you the provisions. He gives you the grace you need for that day. And that church, you come in here on a Wednesday night and you're loading a snake's belly in a rag and rut. You've been out there feeding them asses and dragging around the wilderness and things has happened. Hey, man, you come in on a Wednesday night. And you know what God will do? He'll give you a shot in the arm, get you a couple, 3 more days till you get back to church. He'll give you that grace that you need. Hey, man, some of you is fixing to go through some hard things. I guarantee it. Hey, man, this message is for you tonight. Some of you've been through some hard things, and you're amen in what I'm saying. You've been out in the wilderness, and it's got tough and hard and dangerous and scared, amen. But you can't quit. You can't quit. You can't shut the supply line down. I get off my prayer, and I tell you what, I'm out there on faith, brother. I'm telling you, I'm out on faith. Man, I ain't got no IRA. I ain't got no retirement. I got nothing, man. I had cellulitis in my leg here a couple months ago. I'd come up from Florida in my car, and I hadn't left my bus up in Kentucky, and I couldn't even get out of Alabama. I got sick. I had to get a motel and go to the doctor the next day and get antibiotics. I tell you what, I was delirious, man. I was in a mess. And I had a little bit of money. I bought a bunch of books. Had a little bit of money to get home, and I got up here in my... I moved the bus to the next church I was going to in Kentucky, and left front wheel locked up on that bus. And I'm sitting there sicker than a dog, can't hardly walk. I got that bus up there, the wheel locked up, limped in that in there, and man, I was broken, a tooth fairy in a crack house. Y'all didn't get that, did you? They ain't got no teeth. Amen. I was sitting there in my bus, and I'm sitting there scheming. I'm an old truck driver, owner, operator. I know how to work things, you know, and I'm sitting there thinking in my mind, now I can't get out, and I can't jack the bus up. If I could get that wheel off, I could see what's wrong with them brakes. And I'm sitting there letting the Lord, I need to, and the Lord said, whose bus is that? I said, well, it's yours. He said, why don't you let me fix it? And I'm sitting there, can't even walk, man, sicker than a dog. I said, go ahead. You do it. He said, now call your pastor and tell him you're in a mess. Boy, men don't like doing stuff like that. And I said, call him. So I called him. I said, Pastor, I got sick coming up, man. I'm sick. I'm broke. My van's, you know, I'm here at the church, but it's Wednesday. I said, pray for me. Just pray for me, preacher. He said, all right. Now he said, text some of your buddies, you know, some of your friends, some of your preacher friends, and tell them you're in a mess. Man, I don't like doing that. I want to be Mueller, you know, and praying the guy come by and fix it, you know. Pray that, you know, milk truck, you know, George Mueller. So I sent a little text out there Thursday morning. My pastor, he called me. He said, we took up $700. It'll be in your account this morning. I had a brother. He said, I got $500 I'm going to send you. How can I get it to you quick? Another brother down in Florida. He said, how much would it cost? We'll give you $250 and whatever it takes. He said, I'll give you the rest of it. Had another brother, $800 he sent me, man. I'm sitting there, man, God, do something. Now, if I hadn't been praying and if I hadn't been reading, if I had to cut off my supply line and tried to figure it out and done it on my own, I'd probably still be down there sick and my bus would still be tore up. The jacket would probably fell on me. He said, what are you talking about? Three mules, two mules in the wilderness. You know, it don't even tell how many mules he found. It might have been more than two. Amen. I'm going to tell this story. Can I just take a couple more minutes? Maybe three country minutes. I was telling about my mama sick, and she died. She passed away, went to heaven. And I was run down. I was wore out mentally, physically, spiritually, broke. I lost my house. I ended up losing my house. I was there for 20 years. I ended up losing my house. I had a business and got rid of it. And just, you know, it was a bad timing. And I had a loan on my house, one of them, you know, whatever gets you right, what money you need, you know, off your house, equity. And I couldn't do it. I couldn't make enough money to do it, to make everything. And I was having to move out. I had a thing I had so long to get out of my house, and I'm sitting there. I'm not a bit spiritual, brother. I'm not spiritual. I'm just having a hard time. I built that house. I mean, I've done everything. I raised my kids in that house, and I got to go, man. I got to leave. I don't got so many days to leave. And I'm sitting there, man, you talk about in the wilderness. I'm telling you what, I was sitting there, and I was loading stuff and trying to get out of there. And a guy that I was raised up with, he pulls in the driveway. And he's a drug dealer, man. He's a gambler. He ain't never had a job. He's my age. I went to school with him, rode the bus with him. He's just bad news. He's one of them guys you don't want to be around because the hammer's going to fall, and you know you don't want to be there, right? He had braided ponytail, you know, and had chicken fight. I mean, it's chicken fighting. I mean, just everything illegal, you know. And he pulls in my driveway, and he comes in there in my house. knocking on the door. Hey, Rob, how you doing? I said, well, I'm doing all right, I guess. I didn't want him there. I want him to leave. I had to move, you know. So I said, I'm going to preach to him. He'll leave as soon as, you know, that guy's going to leave as soon as I talk to him about the Lord. I said, hey, John, you know, I got saved here a while back. He said, oh, something happened. Yeah, something happened. I said, yeah, I got saved by the grace of God. I said, I trusted Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I said, you know, all the problems, things I had years ago, and I said, ask the Lord to save me. I said, John, how about you? How about you? I said, Jesus died for you. I said, would you let me take the Bible and show you how to be saved? I thought, he gone. You know, he said, yeah, go ahead. So I still want him gone. I got my Bible out, and I showed him, you know, best way I know how. I led him down Romans Road and told him, I said, now, John, would you be interested in asking the Lord to save you? Save you right now. I'll give you home in heaven. I didn't know he'd been in jail for 30 days. I didn't know that they done took his house, his Hummer, and everything else he had. You know, I didn't know none of that stuff. And he said, I believe I would. I said, this is weird. I said, would you be willing to bow? I said, I got saved right here in this house, right here, blue chair right there. I said, would you be willing to bow your knee? I said, the Bible says every knee shall bow and tongue confess. I know what that's at. I know what that's about. I said, you might as well bow now and ask the Lord to save you rather than before he puts you in hell, you know. And I said, I'll get down and pray with you. He flopped down on the floor and he asked the Lord to save him. I said, I'm trying to get rid of him. And he gets up. I said, well, John, now that you're saved, I said, you ought to get your Bible, get in church. I said, I'll get you a Bible. And I said, you got a church where the Lord, maybe you got some family or something been praying for them, might want you to come to church with them? You know, he said, where do you go to church? I'm sitting here, I'm trying to get rid of him. I'm not spiritual. You know, some of these guys are spiritual. I'm not spiritual. I'm like, well, John, I go down to Milkville Baptist Church here, you know, down the road, Elk Creek Road. He said, what time is that? I said, well, Sunday school's 10. Sunday school's good and the preaching's at 11. He said, I'll pick you up. I said, no, I go to the Butler County Jail at 8 o'clock. And I said, I'm over at the prison camp at 9 o'clock. Before I come to church, I said, you can't go for that. And you know what he did? He come to church. Oh, no, wait a minute. Whenever I got to talking to him, he said, my boy up there is sitting in the bed right now. It's like noon. He said, go up there and get him. And he'll help you move this stuff. 15-year-old boy. Lord, give me a soul in the wilderness and to give me help when I wasn't a bit more spiritual than a man on the moon. And I'm gonna hurry. I told John he'd come to church. I said, you need to get that boy in church. He said, he ain't coming. He won't come. He's 15 years old. He's in the world. He ain't coming to church. I said, bribe him. I said, get him a steak dinner or something. Tell him you go to church. He comes in next week about 15 steps behind John. I said, John, I told you to get him to come. He said, it cost me a Jew flag. Now, them old gambling and all them, that's a $100 bill. He gave him $100 to come to church. I'll give you the rest of the story. That was Joe Fall. Joe Fall got in a little trouble. He got out of church, got in a little trouble. God dealt with him. He graduated from Pensacola Bible Institute about 18. He met a little girl down there named Anna Butler. And they fell madly in love and got married. And he moved back up here. They got two little boys. He's our youth pastor now. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about two mules in the wilderness God gave me. Hard time, man. I'm glad I didn't quit. Don't you quit. Don't you quit. Hey, man, God might be getting ready to do something. And you don't want to miss it. You know he's coming back, don't you? Well, I heard some of my old preacher say, as sure as I'd quit, he'd come back next day. Lord, I love you and I thank you for Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray, Lord, you take something we said. I know my thoughts and comments were scattered, Lord, but you are the preeminence in this place, and I tried to put you there in this message, Lord. And the Christian life, it isn't always glamorous, glorious, Lord, but there ain't no better life in the Christian life. All of what the world has got to promise and the devil can give you, Lord, I wouldn't trade places with Donald Trump or 10 Donald Trumps right now. I'm so thankful, Lord, that you saved me, Lord. And just like Moses, you cleave a place in the rock for him, Lord. You made a place for me. And Lord, I thank you for it, God. I ain't no Dr. Ruckman or Jack Howells or Lester Roloff, Lord, but you made a place for me, Lord, and I thank you for that, and I just thank you for guiding me and taking care of me all these years, Lord, in spite of me. And Lord, I pray for these dear folk here tonight. Lord, took time out to come. I pray, Lord, that you'd help them tonight. Lord, maybe meditate on some of these things, maybe encourage them. Maybe send them some mules this week, Lord. Send them some blessings, God. And just let them know they're where they ought to be, even though it's tough, Lord. Think of this pastor, Lord, that's laboring here in two churches over here in the wilderness, out here in the middle of nowhere, God. I thank you for him and his wife and what he means to me and that Bible, Lord. I know it's helped a lot of folks, God. And I know it's not always, the results and the praises are not always there, Lord, but it's a blessing, God. I pray that you continue to bless him. And Lord, if you tarry, I pray that the best days would be ahead for this church as well as the church in Rensselaer. Lord, I pray that you'd continue to be about them and give them abundant blessings here in your work. We love you, thank you, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise God. Hey.